Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them. We're going to go to a couple of different letters today. We're going to go to James. We're going to go to 1 Peter. Really, you should read these two letters together, because they really do go together, fit together like a glove. And I think it's important you have to read them together, because Peter brings some things out. I've told you this before, but I read 1 Peter for a lot of years, and I never really realized that the environment that Peter is speaking of in 1 Peter is the supernatural environment that we're supposed to expect wherever we are. You know, I always, to be honest with you, read it with an end time focus, but he's not necessarily talking about just end time stuff. He's speaking of an environment. How many know Peter understood the environment of the supernatural? Even before he was a new man, I mean, he gets out on the water, and for a brief moment in time, he was up there with Jesus. You know, Peter was one of these guys where he just walked down the street, and because of the presence of the Lord upon him, in a certain radius around him, people were getting healed. So Peter understood what we could call the grace life. So we have to read James and 1 Peter together, because there's some things that James brings out that Peter explains in 1 Peter. For instance, in James chapter 1, James makes the statement in verse 2. He says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." He said in verse 2 again, he says, "Consider it all joy." Well, he doesn't really answer why. Peter brings out why in his letter in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, Peter says this. James says, "Count it all joy." Peter says this, to the degree that you share with the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. Now, the error that we sometimes read these things with is, we put this in an eschatological environment, and we say, when this whole thing's all over with. And it certainly would apply there. But whatever is true there is true now. So Peter says this, to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. Verse 14, chapter 4, 1 Peter. If you're reviled for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Now let me ask you a question. Is that true just because you started rejoicing? Or is that an always present, constant truth? Well, the Spirit of God is in you. We know that's an ever constant truth. But it's interesting that what both James and Peter bring out in their letters is, I think, something that maybe we've forgotten about this what we call the grace life. And this is why, folks, this is why it's so important for you, and I've said this a number of times, and I realize I'm swimming upstream here, but I'm a big, strong salmon. I can do it. That the grace life is not just speaking about some sentiment that God has towards you. He could have fried you, but he didn't. The grace life specifically speaks to the empowerment that is in you and upon you that is ever present because he's in there. It's a reality that religious folks don't understand and don't really have a focus on. And it is what separates what we call Christianity with any other religious perspectives. Because Jesus was resurrected to put God back inside of you. You might as well say amen if so.
That's it.
Amen. And it's something that we don't honestly have our focus on daily lives, because quite honestly, I grew up in church and nobody ever told me that one time. But this is exactly precisely what James is speaking of and what Peter is speaking of in 1 Peter. But there are environments that surround the Spirit of God that if we don't understand what brings things about, then we'll do one of two things. We'll sit back and wait for God to do something. Or we'll get disgruntled and say, well, none of this stuff works, so forget it. And we don't realize that we're the ones that trigger it. We started this series out, my best friend for your best friend forever, the Holy Spirit. We started out on the basis of understanding that the basic way Holy Spirit directs us is by impressions. Specifically, he directs us by desires. He gives us the desires of our heart. He gives us those desires to direct us certain directions. And then if we'll step that way, then he'll give us the desire of our heart. But that's the way he leads us and directs us. That's the most basic way. But the challenge is, here's what happens. He'll lead us by putting desires into us to direct us certain ways. And then somewhere between the desire and the fulfillment of that desire is a decision's made and we step back. He leads us through desires. We stop it by our decisions. And then it's like the most miserable environment we could possibly live in is the environment that's between the desire and the decision. Because the desire is not going away. So this is the way Holy Spirit steers us. This is the way he directs us, the most basic way. And what you're going to see today, in the next couple of weeks, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through some things today. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to show you some things. And I believe he's going to really give you a clear picture of how to facilitate him. And then next week, we're going to get into the role of the local church when it comes to the things of God, Holy Spirit, those kinds of things. Because how many know it's important for us to think like he thinks? So those are the next couple of weeks. Now, here, James says, consider it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, or the authenticating of your faith, or you could say it this way, the revelation that your faith is authentic produces endurance. Well, Peter says it like this. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, in verse 2, he talks about the setting apart work of the Holy Spirit. How many know that's one of his jobs? That's his job, to set you apart. To set you apart. He leads and guides you into all of the things that are true. Isn't it interesting that, just as a little side note, we read those verses for years in John, that he leads and guides you into all of the truth, and we've only interpreted those in the context of print. When that's a past tense, present tense, right now as I'm standing here, and future tense. His job is to lead and guide you into all of the truth that was, is, and going to be. That's his job, and he loves to do that. And actually, the Greek New Testament brings out this, that he leads you into those things to get you to step up into them. So, Peter says, by the setting apart work of the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood. So how many know that you came into the kingdom by the work of the Spirit? He put that desire in your heart and you acted on it. And what happened when you acted on it? As soon as you acted on it, something happened. Paul says that, he says this, he explains it like this in one of his letters. He says, he talks about the power and the grace that he discovered that was in Christ Jesus. We talk about it outside of Christ Jesus, but Paul is talking about the environment of grace inside Christ Jesus, what he discovered when he got in there. Because it's talking about the presence of him and the power of him. It was the mercy that brought him over, but it was the grace, the presence, and the power once he got there that he discovered that was in Christ Jesus. And so, Peter says, by the setting apart work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. May the presence of him and the working of his power and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great, what? Notice it doesn't say grace. According to his mercy, he caused you to be born again. And I love this next phrase, to a living hope. Aren't you glad it isn't just a theological hope? Aren't you glad it's not just an analytical hope? It's a living hope. That means it's real right now. But it came about through the resurrection of Jesus. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away. And this is where we get the eschatological environment that we put it in, when he's not really speaking of that. Reserved in heaven for you. Now, let me ask you a question. Just because something is reserved in heaven for you, does that mean it's not available to you till you get there? No, it means it's right here, right now. So he says, we're protected by the power of God, everybody say grace, through faith for a salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, the last time is not when you're off the planet. The last time is when he shows up in your situation. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, this is exactly what James is speaking of, so that the authenticity of your faith that's more precious than gold. It's a precious thing to the heart of Holy Spirit. It's a precious thing for you to realize that the faith that's in you is authentic. So that the proof of the authenticity of your faith that's more precious than gold, even though the gold is even tested by the fire, may be found. See, there's things he wants you to find. He wants you to find out some things about the faith that's in you. His heart's desire is for you to find out some things that result in praise and glory and honor. And they result in the revelation of Jesus Christ, or they result in, you could say it like this, or they result in him showing up and showing off. That's the same thing he's referring to when he talks about in the previous verses in verse 5, the end, that which is revealed in the last time. This is why it's important, folks. Do not send these into eschatological zone. He's speaking about the here and now. It applies to the eschatological environment, but he's speaking about the here and now. So he says, he wants you to find that the faith that is in you is authentic. And he wants that finding to result in praise and glory and honor. And specifically, he wants that faith to reveal to you not only that it's authentic, but it brings Jesus on the scene to show out and show off. He said, though you've not seen him, you love him, and you greatly rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Verse 9. What's the result of you finding out that the faith that's in you is authentic? You obtain as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions. Same thing James was talking about when he said that it produces endurance. Exact same thing. He says, in verse 10, he says, this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. What's he talking about? He's talking about the presence of him and the working of his power that was going to show up and show out on your behalf. It would be in you and upon you. He says in verse 10, this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the what? To follow. That certainly isn't speaking eschatologically. That's speaking about after the resurrection. Because he just got done telling you in the previous part of the letter that this whole thing was based on the resurrection of Jesus. Did you know that you're living in the time period of the glories to follow? So let's jump forward. Verse 13. Okay. Just checking. Verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for... What? Prepare your minds for action. You mean you got to do something? Prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace that's to be brought to you at the revelation of... So you see how Peter's talking about the manifestation of his presence and because of that, the power that comes with it. He says, prepare your mind for action. Keep sober. Fix your hope completely on that grace or on that presence and the working of his power that's to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. James talks about it like this. He talks about the fact that there's a greater grace. I believe it's James. That's popping almost so much, I could probably break dance in here. If I knew how to do that. Yeah, honey, but that takes some practice. And I can also fall down. That'd be included in all things. It's either in 1 Peter or James that one of them talk about a greater grace. There's a greater grace. But I want you to understand this, that it starts with us being willing to give ourselves to him. That's why Peter says, prepare your mind for action. And what I believe the Spirit of God wants to get over us today, he wants to get over some things to us today that if we want to see the work of the Spirit of God in our life, if we want to experience being set free from stuff, then 97% ain't going to do it. He wants 100% of us. Because it's that 3% that's killing you. Keeping you bound up. Because you'll find in the scriptures, 1 Peter and James, they both talk about this grace that's available. And Peter says the grace that's to be brought to you, the end result of that grace is a revelation of Jesus Christ, but it begins with a step of you followed by you being willing. It begins with you being willing to stand where he's directed you to step. Again, he leads us by desires. He puts desires in you. The best thing we can do is learn how to act on those desires he puts in us and not stop the result of that by a decision. So many people cry, I want to be led by God, I want to be led by God, I want to hear God's voice, and he's leading them by desires, and they thwart every single one of them by a decision. I heard this story years ago, pastor stands up and says, we need somebody to sweep the church. Somebody throws their hand up because God laid it in their heart, their desire to do it. And as soon as they do that, their head says, what am I doing? I don't have time for this. And they bring their hand back down. It was Holy Spirit that led you that direction, but it was your own head and that decision you made that pulled you out of the grace that was waiting for you to make that step. See, we like guarantees. And I'm speaking mostly in the Western world, but I think, all natural man, I think, is that way. Your natural man wants guarantees. Honey, the only guarantee you got is I'll never leave you or forsake you. And that's a guarantee. You can bank on that. But there's a place in God that if we're not willing to make that step, Paul says in Ephesians, having done all to stand therefore. But you got to make the step to stand where you're standing. Then you've done all to stand. But there are things and there are experiences in Holy Spirit that unless we're willing to make that step, unless we're willing to take action and take that step because of a desire he's put in us, you have absolutely no idea what's on the other end of that. And you won't know until you take that step. It begins with a step followed by a willingness to stand where he directs you to step. Only then will you see and experience what he has in store and become a product of experiencing him. Peter says it in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, tasting the kindness of the Lord. And then chapter 4, Peter says this, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold or multifaceted grace of God. Every time the Holy Spirit directs you and puts a desire in you to direct you a certain direction, he needs you to make that step. But he's telling you, if you'll make that step, I'm going to be on the other end of that thing. And it's going to take you into your future. But we've got to be willing to make the step, and then once we make the step, stand, and having done all, to stand therefore. Because literally what he's saying here in 1 Peter chapter 4, he says, each one has received a special gift, employ it, serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to speak as one speaking the utterance of God. Whoever is serving as one who's serving by the strength with God supplies. He's all talking about an empowerment here. So that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever. You In chapter 1, verse 22, Peter says it like this. In obedience to the truth, your soul gets purified. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. But it takes a step on your part, and the end result of that is you experience the purifying of your soul. It doesn't come before that. It comes when you make that step. Chapter 1, verse 17, Peter says it like this. He says, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's works, conduct yourself in fear during the time of your stay on the earth, or conduct yourself in reverence to your Father. And about this time, everyone says, well, I reverence the Father. Aren't you glad that the Word of God shows you and tells you what reverencing the Father looks like? And it's not just up for anybody's interpretation. Because you can analytically say, I reverence the Father. But the Holy Spirit made sure that we understood what reverencing the Father looked like and what it was. If you hold your place here and go to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis 22. You have to understand this. There is so much and so much fullness in the heart of the Holy Spirit for you and towards you. It's like we talked about early on in the series that the only thing that's thwarting the whole deal is what Paul told the Corinthians. Why are you emotionally pulling back from us? Genesis chapter 22, verse 12, the Spirit of God shows us what reverencing the Lord looks like. And he said this to Abraham. He says, I know that you reverence me since you have not withheld. And he was talking about your son, your only son, from me. When we talk about reverencing the Lord and the environment of reverencing the Lord, you have to understand this. And folks, look, I understand that there's been massive abuses of this crap. Can I say that? There's been massive abuses of this. But it doesn't change what is. And it doesn't change what makes the environment of the kingdom of God be the environment of the kingdom and be the environment of the Holy Spirit. We can't just throw out the bathwater, throw the baby out with the bathwater and the tub, everything all at once. It doesn't change the fact that these are the things that Holy Spirit works by. These are the things that either will dictate whether or not He has the freedom to bring you out or have to sit there in your mess with you. That was perfect timing. He told Abraham, I know that you reverence me because you have not withheld. You remember over in 1 Peter when he talked about, so those that serve, when you speak, speak as one speaking the utterance of God. The giftings that you have on the inside of you, understand that those giftings don't belong to you. I know this goes over well. They don't belong to you. They belong to Him. You remember the children of Israel? When they came out of Egypt, and they went, and all of a sudden, now they're out in the wilderness, and all of a sudden these guys have this incredible ability and craftsmanship to create things out of bronze and silver and gold and, I mean, all this kind of stuff. Where'd that come from? All they did in Egypt was make bricks. It's because God put the giftings on the inside of them and then they let Him use them. How did He direct them? He put the desire in them to go for it. So the sooner that we understand, folks, as a church and as people, that what's on the inside of you doesn't belong to you. And, you know, we'll get into this a little bit next week, too. Now I have one person show up. No, everybody will show up next week. That where you go to church isn't your choice either. Where we ever, you know, when I was growing up, there was some dumb commercial on TV about go to the church of your choice. It isn't your choice. He plants in the body where he wants you, and you better stay put. Because there's giftings that he's put in you that he wants access to. That's why James says he jealously desires the Spirit within you. And, you know, most of your translations say big S Spirit, but that's big S just for the recording. I don't want you to think I said something else. But really, in the Greek New Testament, it's a small S. He's the one that gave you the recreated spirit that you are. And he put himself in there. It can go both ways, but you can't have one without the other. And then James brings out by the Spirit of God that the Father jealously desires the spirit he put in you. Why? Because in that spirit are giftings that he put in there. And, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we have to understand this. That if you're sitting in a local church, that local church hopefully wasn't somebody's idea. Hopefully that local church is there because there's something in the heart of Father that he wants executed in that city. So everybody that gets planted in particular local churches all over wherever they are, they're his gifts. And he has something he wants to accomplish. And so when we're willing to put our hand to what's in his heart, things happen. Don't ever let the thought process settle into your head that this church was just an idea that Shelby and I had. It wasn't. In fact, it was the farthest thing from my mind. It was definitely the farthest thing from her mind. Because she told him, never again. But the reason why he tapped us on the shoulder is because there's things that he wants to bring us into. And there's things that he told us about you guys and many other ones that are not sitting here today. He's already told us about you. He told us about you in the mid-90s. Because he's always had this desire in his heart for this church to accomplish certain things that are in his heart. So it's not about me, it's not about a pastor, it's not about the guy at the top of the food chain. It's about what is in the heart of the Father that he wants to get accomplished through a local church, in a city, in a region, in a nation, in a world. It has nothing to do with anything natural. So if we're going to work with the Holy Spirit and facilitate him, we need to make sure we think like he does and see things like he does. And he said in a number of places that in order to release the fullness of him into our life, into our environment, we have to be the one that takes the step. We have to be the one that takes the action. We have to be the one that understands that everything that we have, everything we are, everything that's in us. I tried to quit piano when I was a kid. I took all the lessons. Well, I'm not saying I arrived, but I took a number of lessons. But then all of a sudden, he started giving me abilities to play stuff just by hearing it. And I tried to pursue that. And there was folks around me that didn't understand that that was from God, and that's understandable. So I walked away. For 10 years, never touched a keyboard. Dang it, then God got a hold of me again. So then I went out and bought one. Why? Because there were things that when I was a little kid, when I was playing the piano, we used to have to practice for like an hour a day, and I used to hate it. Set the egg timer. Got to go up there and practice. But there was a point in time when I got older as a high schooler, which is really when I walked away from it. he started showing me things in my mind's eye that I had no idea how that was going to come to pass. And I actually had no idea that I was going to do any kind of pastoring thing. It wasn't even in my head. In fact, when I was in high school, I quit going to church. Don't need that stuff. It's just a bunch of old grumpy men that are mad at me. But how many know he had a vantage point that I didn't quite have? And he's got a vantage point even right now with every one of us in this room and everybody that's out there that hasn't met us yet. He knows our end from our beginning. And all Holy Spirit wants us to do is be willing to take that step and let him have what he put in there. I mean, I guess the reality of this, and I don't know, you know, I guess there's really not any notes here. I guess I'm just kind of talking. The reality of this is this, guys, and I'm just going to get as real as I can with you. A, you got to decide where you're supposed to be. What's he saying to you? Because we want to be where he's put us. And then if he puts you someplace, he wants to know, are you willing to give me everything and show me you reverence me? Because if you're willing to step there, I'll cause you to stand there. And when you stand there, I'll cause the revelation of what's in you to come out of you. And it'll take you into your future. And it'll take you into the reality of why I've put you where I've put you. And the impact that any particular local church is to have on a city. I don't mean this in a bad way, guys, but we have to come to the place where we realize this. The reason why there's empty seats in a church is because there's people in that church, there's people that we haven't given ourselves to them 100%. Because if we had, how many know he never fails? He's just looking for those to recognize what the assignment is, take ownership of the assignment, and go after his heart and let his heart come to pass through you so that he can manifest who he is, what he is, and everything he wants to do in a city, in a state, in a nation, in the world. But it all comes out of us. Like I said before, Holy Spirit's job is to bring revelation, but we have to put legs on it. There was a whole lot of other stuff I want to get into, but we went there. But I don't want to just sit back my whole entire life, and I know you're the same way. We don't want to just sit back our entire life and say, well, I wish God would move. He would like to move. But he needs 100% of you to move. He needs 100% of me to move. Pastor Shelby and I were talking about this yesterday. There are things and promises that he's made to you and to me that part of the challenge that we have Part of the challenge that we have with getting in the ditch on teaching about faith is we get focused on what I don't have. And then it just becomes I need. When we don't realize that if we give ourselves to him 100% and let him come out of us like he wants to, all of those things are in your future in that journey. You know they are because the desire is in there for those things. But he didn't say, seek the latest faith teaching and all these things will be added to you. He said, seek first the, and all these things will be added to you. Why? Because they're already in your journey. So we're either going to give ourselves 100% to him and realize that everything that he is, all that he knows, is available to us, but it takes us stepping someplace. And it could be a place where we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know how it's going to end up. We don't have to know that, but you know you can trust him. But as long as we're willing to put that, take that step, and when he shows you take another one, you take another one. And every time you take that step, you're releasing more and more of what he wants to do, and there is a grace that comes upon you every time you're willing to take a step. It's not available until you take that step. And I can't tell you what it looks like until you take that step. But if we're willing, as a people, to take another step and take another step and take another step and take another step, and we come to the place where we really truly understand that reverencing him means everything belongs to you, I'm yours 100%, let's do it. Then all of these other things are going to be added to you that you're wishing you had, but they're all part of your journey. But if you never take the steps, you're going to stand back on the bleachers and keep wishing. He never designed for those things to be separate from your journey with him. Well, I hope you took this the way it was supposed to be. Because it didn't come from me. The Word talks about being a doer of the Word. How that starts is you don't take what you get on Sundays and discount it down to, that was Pastor Dan. It wasn't Pastor nobody. It was the Great Shepherd. He's trying to move us in a certain direction. And it always boils down to what's going on in here. It's not my business. It's his business with you, not my business. And it's not me. I didn't come up with this stuff. So we just have to be willing. So let's just get, I told my wife, isn't it interesting that people love to say, they love to be real when it means they can just throw up all over you. But when you talk about being real, when it's just you and him, they don't like that kind of real. God needs a body that's real. And that doesn't mean you're real, you can just say what you want to, because I'm just telling you the truth. No, you're not. You're speaking out of line because you're not speaking from the Spirit of God. You're slicing and dicing people, and that's not him. But he needs us to be real to the fact that we understand, A, you're where you're supposed to be because he put you there, and you're not going anywhere. B, you understand that everything that's in you belongs to him. And C, you're willing to give yourself 100% to him because you reverence him that much, because you want him to take you into your future. I really hope you guys got something out of this. How many know I love you? And I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to do that. But you got to understand, this didn't come from me, it came from him. He's trying to get us somewhere. Yeah, someplace good.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.